Hey, it's Mirazza. Happy Thursday to you, or as we like to call it, Bob's Bar Eve. Check out the best of the DA show now.
We begin as we did yesterday. We told you about the story in Buffalo, and here was naive DA buried in the AJ baby bunker for more than 3 weeks, looking at Stephon Diggs not reporting to OTAs and saying, it's always a wide receiver. What's up with him? It's always a wide receiver. What's going on? And why can't anybody report what's going on? Blah, 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 as DA went. And then Mraz said, excuse me, sir, maybe you were unaware, but somebody slept with somebody else and nobody could report it because it's like TMZ, and Stephon Diggs kind of has a reason to be really PO'd. Oh.
Is that how I sound?
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. I didn't know there was a Days of Our Lives Grey's Anatomy thing going on in Buffalo between Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, other people, bartenders, who knows. So I need to rewind. I need to rewind and maybe perhaps reformulate my take. But either way, yesterday the Bills came out and said, you know what? We're good. We're good. There is no problems. This is fully resolved. We've got shiny, happy people. Oh, okay. Oh, and OTAs are cut short. Sorry, we're out of here. Wait, what? The Bills are good now? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
There's a lot of things out there that aren't accurate. Let me be clear. Steph did everything that he was asked to do. He was here Monday and reported for meetings, at which time we had a good conversation, great communication, and we got to a point yesterday where we just felt like we all needed a break and some space. And so I gave Steph permission to get some space and head out and then picked up those conversations after practice. Those conversations got us to what I think and believe is a great spot. I appreciate Steph being willing to communicate. I thought he did a great job. Steph's a valuable member of this football team. He works extremely, extremely hard as any player I've been around, to be elite in this league, and that's what he is. And I love him.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So some of this tracks. It was Stephon Diggs who was unhappy. It was Josh Allen who admitted he could do some things better. Everybody admitted it was not a football-related thing. It was something non-football-related. And it is possible, it is plausible that Sean McDermott did have a meeting with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, maybe both at the same time yesterday after practice, got it all squared away, and then said, you know what, I think we're good here. Diggs did nothing wrong. It was an excused absence, the way that he tells it, and we're good here. Let's just go to our separate camps and let's take a breather. That's all possible that there's a shred of truth there, but gosh, does this feel like McDermott blew the messaging? Because one day we have McDermott saying he's, quote, very concerned about Stephon Diggs not being there. And then the next day, he's like, you know what? It was excused. We're all good here. And then that same day, after McDermott said, look, if you're not here for any practice, I'm going to be upset, whether it's injury or otherwise. We need all the practice time we could get. He goes, and you know what? No more practice. We're done. OTAs were supposed to go a third day. We're not doing it. 2 days is good. You good? I'm good? Yeah, we're good. So something is up here where McDermott should have, and he's usually built from the don't show any cards type of mold, showed too many cards yesterday, made it seem like it was a big deal. It got blown up into a big deal. What's going on? What's going on? And then the next day goes back to say, no, it wasn't actually a big deal. Well, which one was it? And how can you say it's not that big a deal, Steph did everything right, but then cut an entire day of OTA short? By my math, they sliced down 33% of their entire OTA session. And it was because they needed a breather from one another. So, look, I can't say that I know the full details. And if Mraz's reports and rumor mongering are true, it sounds like it is kind of ugly behind the scenes between mamas and baby mamas and mothers and baby mothers and who knows what. People dating this, people dating, who knows? Who knows what's true, what's not? But the Bills themselves have a head coach that I constantly scratch my head if he's up to the task of leading a Super Bowl team. And the last 48 hours suggests you got to get your ducks in a row before you say anything. If this is what it looks like as you like deal with the issue head on. We'll see. It's always something, huh? It's always something with the Bills. 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Do I think the Bills are all good now? No. I don't think you go from something that volatile to now today everything is good. I don't. Hopefully for them, it is just time away from one another. Cooler heads will prevail and there's some type of understanding. But Mraz, Sean McDermott works so hard on messaging all of the time. I mean, he's cut from the old school football cloth of... we do things this way. This is who we are. One foot in front of the other. Cliche, cliche, cliche. And then he says, I'm very concerned about a guy not being here. The next day says, oh, it was an excused absence. Well, which one was it, Shawnee Mack?
Yeah, there was another quote, DA, when he talked about being very concerned and how he's always concerned if anybody's missing. Like, he really tried to cover his tracks. But I think regardless of whatever is true and what's not true here, I agree with you. Everything's not all right. And as it stands right now, I know it's only June. I don't know how anybody can comfortably say this is the year the Bills break through and finally get to a Super Bowl, because it feels more like this is a locker room ready to burst at the seams more than one that's going to rally and come together.
Is it possible that the last couple of years have been too kumbaya and they need a little bit of weirdness, a little bit of this type of stuff to rally together?
I don't know about that because, I mean, have all of these past recent champions have had, like, these moments where you're actively ending camps early to make sure the team can't be with each other?
Nope.
Seems like we're grasping there. And I think the two happiest organizations in the world right now are the Jets and the Dolphins, that this is unfolding.
And the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Bills could literally have a 53-man fist fight with each other in the locker room and probably still have a better record than the Patriots this year, in my opinion.
But in that division that has been the kingdom of the Bills the last couple of years, you're right. If they have a weakened Bills team because of internal dysfunction, one that involves the franchise QB and the franchise wide receiver, it's not like you have an offensive lineman that hates a cornerback. You've got the two most important pieces to the Bills that need to be able to work together that are at each other's throats apparently right now, or at least some resentment from one side. Yeah, that's not a good equation going into the regular season, but maybe it's better that it happens in June and not October?
I guess if you're going to circle a positive, but again, if it's this volatile, I don't know how anything heals by October either.
Maybe just when football's being played, that's when you have to put it aside. If Diggs really wants to be a winner and he really wants to win a championship, if this is the problem that Diggs can't stand Allen for whatever reason, then maybe once you actually start playing games, you're like, okay, we're full steam ahead. Business, we got to go into business mode right now. Maybe right now it's personal. Then it'll be business during the season.
And you're going to find out about Sean McDermott, the head coach, too, because it's way more about X's and O's. He's got to keep a locker room together and be able to manage egos. That is a big part of being a head coach in professional sports, and you have to wonder if he's able to do that.
Well, as the old saying goes that we like to say around here, it's oftentimes not about the X's and O's, but the Jimmies and the Joes. Or the Joshies and the Stephs.
Yes, that's exactly what we say around here.
24 hours, now 23 hours and 45 minutes from Bob's Bar gates opening up. Where are you at emotionally?
Well, I learned something yesterday, which I'm very curious about. And I told my mom to wake up early and check. You know that construction we were worried about, DA?
Yeah.
So because they're not shifting it in the neighborhood right now, they have decided to rip up the entire main road that leads into the neighborhood, like the one road in as if it was Gillette here. And as a result, the belief is it is overnight construction that wraps at 6 a.m. So I am a little worried about the route for everybody's ride shares. Now, you're still going to be able to get there. There's back roads in there, but it could, after telling everybody make sure you get there by 5:45, I'm a little worried that you might be diverted a little bit.
Your town chose the day before the Bob's Bar Show
completely
to do
up.
Massive construction on the one road in.
The one main road in. I only learned this yesterday. I made a run that we'll get to a little bit later on. I went in and said, what is going on? My mom's like, they just ripped up all the roads. If they start paving tomorrow, it's going to be all overnight construction. Make sure everybody's aware. Now, it's not like you can't get in there. Again, there's another back way to go, but it could take an extra 10 minutes to get in. You will not be able to get there. Just be prepared. Or, you might be down to one lane and it just takes you a little bit longer at 5 a.m.
There would be traffic at 5 a.m.?
Well, if you close three lanes down to one and you have 30 people trying to get there and make sure they hear a good morning. Yeah, I think for the first time ever, even the construction crews are going to be like, why are all these people trying to drive in here right now?
The LIE?
No, it's not the LIE. It's called Route 109. That is the route.
It's a four-lane highway?
No, it's three lanes. Three lanes. But they're all ripped up right now. They ripped them up.
But three lanes each way?
Or maybe two. I guess maybe two in a turn lane. Okay, it's probably two in a turn.
This is why I say Long Island sucks.
But I did laugh. You will not be able to get. I'm not trying to tell you won't be able to get there. I'm just saying it is funny. It's going to be a little extra hiccup probably in that early hour getting through.
First fly in the ointment. Well, does this just mean that all of our tires smell like new tar for Zach Gelb to have to huff?
Probably, and or if the road is still ripped up and they're doing more ripping instead of paving tonight, what it could mean is maybe a loose nail ends up in a tire and then Zach Gelb's getting blamed by the time he parks the car and you come back to a flat tire. That's possible.
Well, let's just count our wins, okay? Kind of like the Bills are counting their wins right now. Let's count our wins. It's not construction in front of your house.
No.
Which would have been the big problem. If we would have had road graders and cement mixers outside of Bob's Bars, we tried to do a radio show, that would have been the real issue.
Absolutely. No. The show was going to sound perfect. This was just more laughing after the whole my dad chasing them away from doing construction. Then instead they took it to the main road in. That's what I found funny.
Is it possible that they did this as a little elbow into the ribs of Bob? Bob, you taunted us and you threatened us, and so we won't do this in front of your house, but the way in, we'll decide to do it just the day before.
Possible.
It's a message sent from the Department of Public Works?
A message sent. It's definitely possible. So, look, moist pork in the carpoolers. Just be prepared. That's all I'm telling everybody.
Bob's Bar 3. The story of 2023. Titled, A Message Sent.
And for those looking for me to freeze, I can also report pool temperatures are up, so I'm okay to be dumped in there.
Okay, forecast. What are we looking at?
All right, so as the forecast stands right now, Bogus could confirm or deny, it looks like most of the rain has shifted to about a happy hour, 5 o'clock situation tomorrow evening.
Yes.
The report calls for in West Babylon, mostly sunny in the morning. Woo-hoo. Increasing clouds with showers later in the day. Friday night, showers and thunderstorms. A low of 62, a high of 77. So we'll be fine for the show.
Boy, did we need that. And high of 77 is perfect.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be gorgeous, as they say.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Good morning, everybody. We appreciate you being with us on this June 15th, 2023. It's a Thursday as we prepare for tomorrow's Bob's Bar Show. To be prepared for tomorrow's show, make sure you're familiar with our streaming options, because you don't want to be missing any part of tomorrow. If you could watch it, I highly encourage you to do so on YouTube or on Twitch. Just use the CBS Sports Radio channels there, YouTube and Twitch. or watchda.com. That's also mobile friendly. Or you can use your phone to listen to us if you're outside your normal listening area using the free CBS Sports app or the free Odyssey app. Of course, if you listen to us across a radio affiliate on this CBS Sports Radio Network, make sure you are locked in for 4 hours tomorrow. I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss Boyle's Oil. More on that coming up, but first sound check. And so let us begin with Joe Burrow, who's asked who's the best quarterback in football. Here's Joey Burr.
I don't think there's any argument right now. It's Pat. Tell somebody has a better year than he's had. He's the one to knock off.
I don't think there's any question. It's Pat. And that's from the mouth of probably the second best quarterback in the NFL and a guy who's hyper competitive. And this is why I love Joe Burrow. Because there is a way out there for a guy with an ego that can't find it within himself to say that other guy is better. There's certainly a way out of this where you go, well, that's not for me to judge. I'm not really sure. Or, you know what? I'm always going to say myself, because you got to believe in yourself if you're going to accomplish anything. You know, yada, 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 the old cliches. Instead, here is a guy admitting, no, that guy's the best. I'm not the best. That guy's the best. And until somebody knocks him off, I can't be the best. And I think that that's a pretty cool demeanor. And I think that's what makes Burrow really approachable, is that he's a superstar, but he seems to understand that it's really all about winning. And he can't have an ego about anything until he wins the Super Bowl. Now, here's a guy that's been there and came within an eyelash of winning it for the Cincinnati Bengals and still has to admit, it's not me. It's somebody else. It's my contemporary, and it's not me. And he's right. The best quarterback in football is Patrick Mahomes, and maybe that's also a testament to Mahomes that it's so obvious, there is no real argument to be made otherwise, that even his rivals have to admit it. Pretty interesting. Here is Colts running back Jonathan Taylor, who wants a new deal, but of course nobody's given new deals to running backs. Here's JT.
It's sad. It sucks because a lot of positions do a lot for their team. But specifically speaking for the running back position, I can just speak firsthand, we do a lot. And you just want to be treated fairly, and not even treated fairly. You just want to be, you know, appreciated for what you bring to the team. Just seeing guys fight, you just hope that things work out for them. I mean, you see why guys, they request trades. They want, you know, they just want to feel valued by not only their coaches, their teammates, but the organization as well. And I think it's something you got to continue to do.
I don't blame Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler, Dalvin Cook, Josh Jacobs. I don't blame any of them for feeling undervalued, dismissed, ignored, disrespected. Because all of those guys are really good at what they do. And Jonathan Taylor is certainly one of the best at what he does in the NFL. And when you hear Taylor say, I know what we provide to a team and I know what we mean, he's not wrong. Running backs are an important piece of the puzzle. The only problem for all of those guys is they are so much more replaceable than any of the other stars at any other position. That's the problem. Nobody is saying those guys aren't important. Nobody's saying you don't need a running back or multiple running backs. Nobody's going to run the football anymore. It's just a harsh reality. It's the single most simple position to replace. And they just got to deal with that supply and demand. That's what this is. I mean, it's a little bit like kicker or punter. And you hate to say it because we've grown up through our lives with the great stars at running back being Hall of Famers, high draft picks, the centerpieces of offenses. But if a kicker held out for more than the franchise tag, or a punter said, I'm not reporting to camp because I didn't get a big enough deal, everybody would laugh. Okay, you think you're not replaceable? It'd be a joke. But it's not that those guys aren't valuable. They are. But that a pretty close approximation of what they do can be had at a pretty light cost in the draft or on the free agent market. And so that's just the bit with running backs. Finally, on the Perloff show with Maggie and Perloff, rather, we had Andrew Perloff eat an entire jar of peanut butter a few weeks ago. And then on Monday, Maggie ate an entire jar of jelly. She was doing so almost as a reverse hunger strike to get more people to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And so props to Maggie for doing the dirty work. I mean, all we do is play idiots and laugh for 4 hours every single morning. And that's us putting in work to growing the YouTube channel. We'll have Badlands Booker belch in Mraz's face in super slow-mo. That's going to be our contribution to growing the YouTube channel. I mean, here's Maggie, who's actually having to ingest a full jar of jelly. So more power to her. But they've been doing the PB&J. How about Chip Carey and Brad Thompson on Bally Sports Midwest? This is during the Cardinals-Giants game on the broadcast team. Also giving PB&J some love. Let's listen in.
How about you? You a grape jelly snob?
Oh, I'm not a jelly snob at all.
No.
I'm in. I mean, strawberry, grape,
yep.
I'm good with. Raspberry even.
Okay.
Well, I'm not getting too exotic. I'm not going with the orange marmalade and peanut butter.
Well, this might be the most critical question of our relationship.
All right. Well, here we go. I'm ready for this.
Here it is. It's
to happen.
It's June 13th. It's 9-2. First pitch. Out of play foul. You ready for it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Crunchy peanut butter. Smooth peanut butter.
And creamy all day.
Oh, no.
All day. I'm not even hesitating. Why'd you move further away? Yeah. Turn your back to me. This could be a fun season.
Swing and a miss. Two outs.
So you're a chunky guy, huh?
Oh, look at me, of course.
I mean, Plaza Tire Service pitch track. Look at this one here. Nice bender.
And for the record, it's crunchy, not chunky.
I know what it's called.
Oh.
Do we think that that's legit frostiness in the booth over this? Or is that, are they just hamming it up?
I gotta think they're hamming it up. You can't be that serious over a chunky versus creamy debate.
Why isn't that funny? Why did the four of us not even break a smile?
That's a good question. I laughed when I first heard it this morning, which is why I put it in. Maybe you guys have to ask yourselves? I don't know.
I thought it was funny. I thought it was entertaining. I chuckled when he said, look at me.
Look at me is a good line. I don't know. There was something that was a little bit too...
No, the key is he says it's 9-2 and the Cardinals are terrible. I'm assuming they're losing this game 9-2.
I'd have to look, yeah.
They already hate each, like the season is terrible. It's a complete waste of time. So they're salty, but that's for fun. They're not actually mad at each other over peanut butter, but that's why they're talking about it, because they've got nothing left to do and it's June 13th and the Cardinals season is sunk.
How did that come up?
So Tyro Estrada, who plays for the Giants, there was an anecdote that he's obsessed with eating Uncrustables, and that's the only form of peanut butter and jelly he will eat. So it starts early in that clip with the jelly conversation, ripping off all the different types of jellies, and then it gets to the creamy, crunchy, don't call it chunky debate.
So here's my big takeaway on all of this, is that we've talked about this before. Wars on Twitter over adamant takes on pretty run-of-the-mill food questions is stupid. You know, if the people that say you're not allowed to put ketchup on hot dogs, right, it's a disgrace, we can't be friends, I'm blocking you. Or what?
Pineapple on pizza, what are you doing?
Pineapple on pizza is a crime against humanity. Dude, I will never, ever follow you ever again.
A hot dog is a sandwich, the bun's the bread.
Right, yeah.
It's a hoagie, it's not a sub, bro.
Right. Is a super meal. If we disagree on this, we cannot be friends. This type of stuff is so idiotic because nobody should ever have such hard food takes. What I will take away from, like, you can't say we're now at odds because you don't like my type of peanut butter. It's just ridiculous. So I guess some of this is just hamming it up. But number two,
you can't dip a wing in ranch, bro.
Right. It just becomes tired because we've seen this all over the place. The other thing, though, is that Brad Thompson is right. All jellies are pretty good. I mean, grape jelly's great. Strawberry jelly's great. Raspberry jelly's kind of like strawberry jelly. There's really no bad jellies. But orange marmalade sucks. And I know this firsthand because I got a gift basket for Christmas 2 years ago or something. And it had all these delicious jellies in it. And I ate through all of them. And then I got to the orange marmalade, obviously final. And I opened it up and took one scoop. And I'm like, wow, this is inedible. I cannot even put this on a peanut butter and jelly. I can't do anything with this. It's just gross. So that's the one takeaway there that is absolutely right.
Yeah, it's not a J. That's an O. Yeah. That'd be a PB and O.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good point.
It's not good at either. My mother-in-law and my wife's aunt tried pushing this on me. This is way healthier than mayo. You guys should put it on your turkey sandwiches or whatever.
Wow, instead of mayo.
And so they brought it over. They were like, this is our new thing that we love. So, of course, we love it. So you have to love it. I tried a half a bite. And I was absolutely disgusted. And I would never put it with peanut butter. But I'm with you. Raspberry, strawberry, grape. Have fun with your jellies otherwise.
Yeah, all the jellies are interchangeable. I like strawberry jelly best or strawberry jam best. But, I mean, I'm not going to hate on any of them. They're all fine. None of them ruin a sandwich versus the other one. It's just the orange marmalade is too bitter. It's just... It has the consistency of jam or jelly, but it's just too bitter. It doesn't fit with anything else.
Well, what about the real crux of the argument here? Chunky or smooth peanut butter?
I think they're both interchangeable. I like chunky, but I'm certainly not going to hate on somebody that likes creamy. And if you think I'm some type of terrorist because I like chunky, like, that's ridiculous.
I also think it's weird to like only one version. Like, it's peanut butter. It's pretty much should be what you're in the mood for.
Yes, that's correct. That's the correct
answer. Like, the taste isn't that drastic. It's the texture that's different.
I'm always in the mood for a little crunching and munching.
It is a heartier peanut butter, which I think is why I like it. It makes it feel like a PB&J is of a it's just a bigger meal. It's going to fill me up maybe a little bit more.
Yeah. Is Lady Marmalade related to Orange Marmalade, by the way?
It's marmalade.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
But that is a good question. And I think this would be for Bogues because he travels to Europe more than we do.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Boyle as well. Marmalade and Lady Marmalade, is that based on a region or a town probably in the UK?
It comes from a movie that's based in France. So oh. I don't know all the answers to that.
Oh, yeah. Libi
Bouvazivas au vent. There you go.
So just a quick Google search. The first thing I'm seeing is something about the singer had friends who were sex workers. That's where Lady Marmalade comes from.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah, doctor.
It's a character from even before the Moulin Rouge movie and song. So I don't know where it comes from at all.
This other link is saying it's about New Orleans prostitutes.
Right.
Oh. Which Zion needs to get a hand on those.
Oh, my. Okay. All right. So we don't know where the jelly comes from. We have no idea. Whatever. I mean, just, I like baseball, but is this not so indicative of baseball?
Oh, totally.
Is that the baseball broadcasters can have a full conversation about the wins and losses around what type of peanut butter you like during a game.
Pace of play didn't change these boring conversations.
Could you imagine in the fourth quarter of an NFL game? So, Tony, do you like smooth or chunky peanut butter? Hello, friends.
And by the way, this just shows you how terrible I am with local baseball announcers. When did Chip Carey stop doing Braves games and doing Cardinal games?
This is his first year on the Cardinals.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Right, Bogues? They had a big search this offseason for the Cardinals' voice.
First year for the Cardinals, but I can't remember if he did the Braves last year.
Mm. Yeah.
If he went right from one to the other or not.
He's been around the block.
He's a chip off the old block.
Oh, wow, this has served as the Braves broadcaster from 2005 to 22, so yes.
Okay.
What if I told you Chip Carey's nearly 60?
Oh, wow. That's
that
sad.
Would make you feel old, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Because, boy, he was calling TBS playoff games like 20 years ago.
Well, I don't know that TBS had the playoffs 20 years ago. I think that was only like 8 years ago.
Really?
TBS is not, no, it used to be like strictly just Fox and ESPN back
you're right,
in the day.
But didn't he call the earliest wild card playoff games for baseball that, like 20 years ago?
No, that was not 20 years ago.
He was the lead play-by-play for MLB on TBS from 2007 to 2009.
07.
But they didn't have playoff games in 07. No way. That was the Braves on 07, in 07.
Well, they had MLB on TBS. I just don't think it was the playoffs.
Hmm. Playoff? They could have had a wild card game.
That's what I think.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what I think. So that's 15 years ago, 16 years ago. Anyway, boring conversation we're having. Sorry, let's move it along.
We're toasting to the good life.
I feel alive.
We are feeling good and doing well.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's the DA Show's Thirsty Thursday.
Celebrating with some booskies.
Yes, sir. Booskies this morning. Mirage, who are you toasting to?
DA, I have two toasts for you. Number one, I am toasting whatever the ointment is that Pete's using on his eye that will get him to Bob's bar tomorrow.
Yeah.
Obviously, that stuff's got to be some powerful stuff. Get him all cleaned up and get him there. The number two booski I'm handing out, our listener Justin, previously Justin in Albany, he has made the giveaways for tomorrow. The first 60 customers through the door tomorrow, or patrons through the door tomorrow, will receive these magnetic bottle openers that I have seen the early images of, and they look really cool and really awesome. And I can safely say he made so many other bottle openers last year that we had so many left over that Bob has used them as giveaways all throughout the year.
Wow,
you know, you come to Bob's bar, you have a beer, you leave with a keychain. I still saw him handing those out as late as March this year. So I just think what Justin's brought to the table is unique. It's cool. It's unnecessary. He doesn't have to do it, but it's really awesome. And I think some of you guys are going to leave with a really cool souvenir tomorrow as a result.
Booskies. Right on.
Booskies. Booskies.
AB, Andrew Bogus, who are you toasting to?
So you guys have probably seen this or heard this because the commercial is running a lot in our area. It's not a national thing, but there's a commercial for those of you who don't live here. A commercial running TV, radio, it's in print as well. It's for a local hospital about a 12-year-old boy that was born with half a heart and had crazy multiple surgeries. Doctors have basically built his heart into a correctly, fully working heart, even though he's missing half of it. And now he leads a regular life, plays hockey, plays whatever.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
He's my daughter's buddy. We've known him and his family
really?
For forever.
Wow.
So while he's only 12, so he can't get the actual booski, I'm toasting to Jack and his doctors for getting Jack happy, healthy, and having a regular life after what I can't even imagine the trauma of your son or daughter being born with such an issue. It's a great story, and it's super cool that it's getting at least notoriety around in these parts here in New York City. So
Wow. Toast
to all of them.
Booski!
No doubt. That is a crazy story. Wow. He's 12 years old, and he's all good.
All good.
Wow. That is awesome. Booski's definitely all around there. All right, Pat Boyle, who are you booskiing to?
I got a toast to my catcher from college who went to the Subway Series Yankees-Mets game with me. Corey drove all the way to Citi Field in Queens in rush hour traffic, which is not an easy drive, nor is it a non-frustrating one. And Uncle Patty had some road sodas on the way. So, you know, he offered, he goes, dude, I don't mind driving. I was like, are you sure? Because I was going to drive. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know what? He goes, I'll drive. So he goes, you know, you want to have some road sodas? I said, say no more. So the whole way there, I was having a good time. I was on my phone, which I feel like I lose the ability to check things on my phone just because of when we're driving. That sounded really stupid, but you know what I mean. So I had an hour and a half of just scrolling Twitter, answering texts, answering emails, doing whatever the hell I want. A little road soda here. How you doing? So
you didn't talk to your buddy while he's driving?
Did I talk to him?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, okay,
but, like,
good.
You know, the occasional check of the phone there. I was able to freehand. I had free hands. I could do what I want, scratch my junk, do whatever I want, not be distracted. So
nice.
Toast to Corey for driving all the way to Citi Field and back last night.
Booskies!
Right. That was a long story to get your usual junk mention in.
Yeah, the over-under on that one was 30 seconds into the toast, so we hit the over.
I am toasting to all of these D-aliens that are making this trip tomorrow. I can't believe how many emails I've gotten, DMs I've gotten of people that want to be part of this. I'm extremely grateful. It's going to be awesome. You guys are taking time out of your day. You are going to airports and getting into cars and all this type of stuff. And I'm just like, wow. I mean, Redneck Jimmy tweets, I'm heading to DFW Airport right now. I will see you bozos tomorrow. DFW being Dallas-Fort Worth. So Redneck Jimmy's coming in from Texas for this event tomorrow. This is just one of many stories that I'm seeing like this. So tomorrow's going to be amazing. I appreciate the loyalty, the patronage, and just being good friends. It just feels like everybody tomorrow's going to be good friends, and I'm fired up about it. So booskies to everybody that's going to be making the trip tomorrow. It's going to be awesome.
Booskies!
Don't tell Bob, by the way. We got people flying in.
Especially cowboy territory. That was the wrong one to read.
Chris tweets, hey, good morning, DA. I'm just curious about the tip policy for Zach Gelb parking cars. Have we decided on this? Are we supposed to tip Gelb, or is this just his job?
It's a shame that this is not coinciding, because we could have taken all tips and sent it to Avery's GoFundMe. No, I think it's his job. I don't think you can receive a tip at all.
You shouldn't tip him, and he can't
actually
take it.
I don't know, though. Because wouldn't it be great if Zach ended the day with like $100 in tips and Pete realizes he missed out on being a valet?
Oh, yeah, right.
That just came to me. Oh, how great would that be?
$5
tips. Look how much cash I got doing this.
Wow. Are you beneath straight cold cash?
Because that was Pete's big thing. The job's beneath them. But if you make a nice hefty payday tomorrow.
Right? Squishy Liquid says, question, is anybody going to be an EMT in attendance between both Booker's, Boyle's bare butt cheeks, and Bosses, as in kielbasses? I see a lot of potential for injury. Do we have one of those?
I believe there will be one on standby, but exactly what kind of injury does somebody think is going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, you get hit with a wiener, you get hit with a wiener.
I guess choking would be the number one concern, right?
Yeah. I can give the Heimlich.
And good.
And we'll be readily available. Mouth to mouth, maybe.
Wow. Backwards Brian says, I arrived at work this morning and found a very nice Nike Orioles t-shirt over my chair at my desk. So booskies to the secret gifter, whoever they are. Made my day. Hashtag
booskies. Hold on. Is he sure it's not somebody else's that they ran to the bathroom draped over a chair quick?
It's over his chair. I think a wise man once told me, find his keepers, lose his weepers. Rob of the 321 is toasting Kyle in Arizona. Booskies to him for having not one but two teams of the finals. He's had a great year for his sports fandom. He's seen the Heat win three titles, and now his Knights. Congrats, Kyle. Hashtag booskies.
That's nice. Rob's a changed man.
They're usually at each other's throats.
Rob is, I think Rob in the 3-2-1 is having a big turnaround this last month.
You think Rob, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Tiny Elvis says, even though Rob drives me bananas, I am toasting him today. Buying drinks for tomorrow is a very cool thing. Hashtag unpipe it.
Booskies!
People are coming around on Rob. Kristen in Buffalo says, I'm toasting Bob and Nancy for opening up their home to the show. I won't be there, but hope it's a wild success. And all of the D-Aliens, be good and be good to one another so I can attend Bob's 4 next year.
Booskies
to Bob and Nancy. Indeed. And Mac and Bear from Delaware says, good morning, guys. Just a quick question. Can Gel park a 53-foot truck? Booskies to my youngest son in his graduation. Proud of him. Hashtag college bound.
Booskies.
Oh, wouldn't that be great if Gelb had to park a semi outside of Bob and Nancy's house? Where does the 53-foot truck go in West Babylon?
Back to Delaware would be my answer.
That's got to be parked in the Wendy's parking lot, right?
Exactly.
It's parked at the Wendy's parking lot. Unless he rolls it up right directly next to Bob's bar, and that's like the overflow party. They do it inside the truck.
Inside the truck.
That's where the porta potties are.
Mornings.
mothership.
I would definitely eat hot dogs out of a Stanley Cup.
Or, ooh, I got it. A giant hot cookie with scoops of vanilla ice cream.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. Thursday morning, final hour of the show ahead of tomorrow's Bob's Bar show. We have arrived. Bob's Bar 3 happens tomorrow, starting at 6 a.m. Eastern time until about 10 a.m. Eastern time, of course, when the show ends. And then we'll have live music takeover or just out of a Wi-Fi speaker. We'll see. If we can cobble that live music together, we will. If not, we'll just play some tunes on the speaker. Have food, drink, be merry. When you show up tomorrow morning, crack your first beer or drink early and often. Don't wait for us. You guys should get all lubed up during the show and have a good time. Having a good time. Having a good time. Tomorrow morning at the Bob's Bar Show, the One Sheet Travel Guide. If you need some help with the Long Island Railroad, the subway system, what stop to get off, hotel stuff, it's all available there. You can go to my website, DamonAmendolara.com. Click on the blog. You'll see the travel guide there. Also, you will need the official address from Mraz, or I suppose one of the other patrons that are showing up. So Mraz is doing his very own pat-down, his digital pat-down to make sure you guys aren't crazy people. But I think so far, sounds like, Mraz, you just got a bunch of good people that are coming, huh?
Yeah, people that are genuinely excited, that just want to take part in the show, have a good time, having a good time. I've been really impressed with everybody that's reached out and how cordial. What can I bring? What can I do? I think that this is going to be really fun, and you guys have been outstanding.
Sparks Gang 330 says, good morning, everybody. I'm toasting to the YouTube chat. Listeners turned family. Always fun. Shout out to Capo, Lee, Wronger, B-Town, Same Skis, Excalibur, Spencer, Zach, PRGG, and Jeff. Hashtag down with Doyle. Hashtag YouTube gang.
Booskies.
Wow, down with Doyle. Well, tomorrow, Pat Boyle gets oiled up by whoever comes from the farthest away, and we've got some really good contenders here. But the morning starts off with Zach Gelb, who's going to be wearing a Nebraska Cornhuskers coaching outfit in honor of his best friend, his BFF, his bestie, Matt Rhule. So he's going to be parking your cars. We don't know whether you should tip him. We are leaning towards, if you want to, you should, because we think it'll make Pete jealous that he didn't ever want to park cars, but now Zach did it. He made money doing it. So whatever you want to do, you don't have to tip him if you don't want to, but it might be funny to basically give Zach a taste.
Make the picks. Make the damn picks.
You might just want to say, hey, hey, Gelby, have a taste.
Have a taste.
Yeah, have a taste. And make sure you have a wad of bills, preferably ones, to make it seem like you're rich, but it's really just like $15 in ones. And then you pull one off and you throw it at Gelby and go, hey, get yourself something nice and have a taste. But Gelb has put together little Gelb's gambles for us, since this is how he lost this bet. He has won ahead of tomorrow morning. Let's play it.
Hey, Gelb, it's your best buddy in the whole wide world, Jack Stern. Park my car so I can see my other friends. You know who I'm talking about, Damon and Mr. Raz.
Jack, take a hike. You aren't welcomed at Bob's Bar. Oh, crap. It's Knockout Neil, and he looks angry.
I will kick your ass.
DA, watch out. Oh, Nancy Mirage, please don't scream. I know Carlos with a K was salty. He couldn't get off from work to attend the show, but I wasn't expecting him to show up to Bob's Bar and pee on the dog's tombstones. Ugh, Foxy is here. Hey, everyone, get the earplugs in so we can tune out his average at best bagpipe session. What the heck is this? I don't have a license to park a Viking ship. Who the heck could this be? It's he who shall not be named. Who the heck invited this guy? Guys, I don't have much time left to talk. I'm clearly in over my head parking these cars, and it's exhausting and a big, big task. Oh, shucks. Now I sound like Pete the Body Bellotti making something seem like it's a bigger deal than it actually is. But anyway, I can't believe how many people showed up, so let's not waste any more time. Here are my Gelb's gambles for the Big Bob's Bar Show. At plus 250, I'm taking Peter Schwartz and Shep to not get in a fight this year because Schwartz will be too busy trying to get Badlands Booker to autograph the game-used kielbasa he slapped Mraz with as a gift for Bradley's next birthday. I'm also taking Pat Boyle to not spend any nookie time at Bob's Bar. We all know Marie in Denver isn't coming, but who really wants to spend any time oiling Boyle after his massive Canadian bacon blunder from last week? And finally, I'm taking the under of 10:45 a.m. Eastern as to how long D.A. will be sticking around after the show ends. By the way, D.A., congratulations on becoming a father, but we all know, baby or not, a big star like you would be jetting out after the show ends either way. Oh, come on, Jack Stern. I already told you that you aren't welcomed here at Bob's Bar. Caserta, I'm done parking cars for the day. You're up. I'm going to drink a beer with the Bayou Bear, and you'll deal with big baby Jack Stern.
I woke up 40 minutes ago. I slept for 2 hours. I don't want to deal with it.
Jeez, sorry I even asked. All right, that's all the time we have today from a busy Bob's Bar valet stand. Damon and Raz, back to you.
Well done. Really well done, Michael. That was excellent. That's a lot of shrapnel. You took down a lot of people.
And for the first time in 2 years, Jack Stern with a good attitude about doing something.
I do feel a little bit bad that the joke is he's not invited. That's not fair. We should make sure that he knows he's invited if he wants to come.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we need a GoFundMe to get him there. Actually, maybe he, for that Browns, should be GoFundMe the guy in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. To get him.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. True. Dip into the family fortune.
The trust fund.
And get Avery from San Francisco out.
And Cap is looking for anybody from Brooklyn to split the Uber ride with him. So,
so tomorrow is going to be pretty wild. And he mentioned Schwartz getting the kielbasa autographed for one of his kids' next birthdays. As silly as that is, that's not far off. You don't think that Schwartz might want to have Badlands autograph something, maybe the kielbasa? Feels like that's in play.
Yeah, 100%. Schwartz has probably spent the last year at flea markets looking for competitive eating trading cards to make sure Booker not only signs his own, but then hands Booker other ones to send to other people on the tour for him.
Pat Boyle, have you already picked out what you're going to wear tomorrow?
I have not, honestly, and wow. I'm a little torn here.
What are you torn between?
Oh, I don't know. I just haven't even thought of it. And I was thinking about it like in the 7 a.m. hour when you were talking about it. It's kind of giving me anxiety. I don't know what I want to wear.
Wow. Well, something easily removable because we need to take off your clothes to then oil you up. Now, we only said your pecs, but I guess should it be down to like bathing suit or Speedo?
His pelvis?
Or should he keep his pants on?
Are you getting the inner thighs?
I mean, look, if he wears a Speedo, then that's fine. I don't think you can ask him to go down to the whitey tighties.
I don't wear whitey tighties.
I bet you Boyle is a, they're not boxer briefs, but they're like what, compression underwear, like yeah. The athletic underwear that you would wear, right?
Yeah, I wear Jockey and Calvin Klein. Those are my two. Those are my top two guys.
There will be some tube sock stuffing going on tomorrow, I'm guessing, for Boyle.
I don't need it. unless it's a cold day. In that case.
Right now, Marie in Denver just passed out. She right now is fanning herself in her room right now. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I would guess since there is going to be a massive amount of baby oil applied to me, I probably wouldn't wear any clothes that I have to put back on afterwards that would, suffer because of that. So you might get, I don't know. Well, we'll have to wait and see.
I bet you any money, the only person at this party that Nancy would let take a shower in the house is an oiled up Pat Boyle. Am I wrong on that?
I think that, yeah, there's a chance Nancy might help Boyle shower off. Yeah.
Nancy would not be upset if she sees a semi-naked Pat Boyle getting oiled up in the yard.
She might offer a loofah. You never know.
I would say she might give you the bath.
maybe we'll hose off Boyle and just fry some chicken cutlets in the baby pool in that oil after.
Adriana says, Booskies to Bob and Nancy for letting the entire country into their backyard for our entertainment. Not all heroes wear capes, DA. I predict next year's Bob's Bar will need to have a limit on listener attendance. Somebody bring that man some rum chata. Booskies to Bob and Nancy.
Booskies!
I want to make sure that they don't get too anxious here by saying we've invited the entire country.
We technically did. I mean, you just uttered the words, everybody's invited, literally.
Well, but
just because everybody's invited doesn't mean everybody's coming.
Right. Naturally, not everybody can attend.
Right. Everybody's invited to go to the Super Bowl. You still only get 80,000 there.
And this one's free. You don't even have to pay thousands of dollars.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, tomorrow's going to be something special. And Andrew Bogish is here for headlines. Bogues, what'd you think about the Gelb's gambles?
Gelb on tape sometimes is not the best experience, but that was well put together, well delivered, and I'm glad he left my name out of it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, leave me really alone. Yeah, he did a great job. All right, what do we got on headlines?
Well, guys, this is the best thing that happened in baseball last night.
Now the next offering, swing and a drive, hit pretty deep right field. Sanchez going back at the wall. He leaps. He made the catch. He just robbed Suarez of a grand slam here in the bottom of the ninth inning. An unbelievable game-saving grab by Jesus Sanchez in right field.
Jesus Sanchez denying Eugenio Suarez of, again, the game-tying grand slam, bottom nine in Seattle. The call from Marlins Radio, just one run scored on the sac fly instead. Miami eventually won 4-1. Elsewhere, it was about offense.
Here's Seager, and he swings first pitch. That ball's blasted. Nothing Renfro can do. That ball's gone. Duo up the middle for the Rangers. Strikes here in the seventh.
That's Corey Seager hitting a solo shot. The pitch after a two-run homer from Marcus Semien. The Rangers won 6-3 over the Angels after losing the first two games of this four-game set. Shohei Ohtani had two more hits, including his AL-leading 21st homer to extend his hit streak to 11. The A's winning streak is over at 7, a 6-3 home loss to the Rays. Hours after the full Nevada legislature approved $380 million of public funding for a Vegas stadium, all that's left now is the governor's signature. Tatis, Machado, and Soto hit solo homers in the Padres' 5-0 win over Cleveland. The White Sox rallied for an 8-4 win at Dodger Stadium, and the Mets outlasted the Yankees 4-3-10 to avoid a two-game sweep. Kirk Cousins will make $30 million for the coming season. Then he'll need a new contract. The Vikings tabled talks this offseason. Cousins was asked for an update yesterday.
I think we'll probably talk about the contract next March, and until then, just focus on this season and the job to do right now.
And as the goofy SOB that he is, Cousins also said he's holding out hope that Minnesota re-signs running back Dalvin Cook. The U.S. Open begins in a few minutes at L.A. Country Club. The morning tee times include Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas, and Bryson DeChambeau.
The scientist.
Dustin Johnson said yesterday that Saudi/Live officials have told him their tour will operate the same next year on the heels of the proposed merger with the PGA Tour. And a former Premier League star in...
Mornings, mothership.
I would definitely eat hot dogs out of a Stanley Cup.
Or, ooh, I got it. A giant hot cookie with scoops of vanilla ice cream.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. Thursday morning, final hour of the show ahead of tomorrow's Bob's Bar show. We have arrived. Bob's Bar 3 happens tomorrow, starting at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Until about 10 a.m. Eastern Time, of course, when the show ends. And then we'll have live music takeover or just out of a Wi-Fi speaker. We'll see. If we can cobble that live music together, we will. If not, we'll just play some tunes. on the speaker. Have food, drink, be merry. When you show up tomorrow morning, crack your first beer or drink early and often. Don't wait for us. You guys should get all lubed up during the show and have a good time. Having a good time. Having a good time. Tomorrow morning at the Bob's Bar Show, the one-sheet travel guide. If you need some help with the Long Island Railroad, the subway system, what stop to get off, hotel stuff, it's all available there. You can go to my website, DamonAmendolara.com. Click on the blog. You'll see the travel guide there. Also, you will need the official address from Mraz, or I suppose one of the other patrons that are showing up. So Mraz is doing his very own pat-down, his digital pat-down to make sure you guys aren't crazy people. But I think so far, sounds like, Mraz, you just got a bunch of good people that are coming, huh?
Yeah, people that are genuinely excited, that just want to take part in the show, have a good time, having a good time. I've been really impressed with everybody that's reached out and how cordial. What can I bring? What can I do? I think that this is going to be really fun, and you guys have been outstanding.
Sparks Gang 330 says, good morning, everybody. I'm toasting to the YouTube chat. Listeners turned family. Always fun. Shout out to Capo, Lee, Wronger, B-Town, Same Skis, Excalibur, Spencer, Zach, PRGG, and Jeff. Hashtag down with Doyle. Hashtag YouTube gang.
Booskies.
Wow, down with Doyle. Well, tomorrow, Pat Boyle gets oiled up by whoever comes from the farthest away, and we've got some really good contenders here. But the morning starts off with Zach Gelb, who's going to be wearing a Nebraska Cornhuskers coaching outfit in honor of his best friend, his BFF, his bestie, Matt Rhule. So he's going to be parking your cars. We don't know whether you should tip them. We are leaning towards, if you want to, you should, because we think it'll make Pete jealous that he didn't ever want to park cars, but now Zach did it. He made money doing it. So whatever you want to do, you don't have to tip him if you don't want to, but it might be funny to basically give Zach a taste.
Make the picks. Make the damn picks.
You might just want to say, hey, Gelby, have a taste.
Have a taste.
Hey, have a taste. And make sure you have a wad of bills, preferably ones, to make it seem like you're rich, but it's really just like $15 in ones. And then you pull one off and you throw it at Gelby and go, hey, get yourself something nice and have a taste. But Gelb has put together a little Gelb's Gambles for us, since this is how he lost this bet. He has one ahead of tomorrow morning. Let's play it.
Hey, Gelb, it's your best buddy in the whole wide world, Jack Stern. Park my car so I can see my other friends. You know who I'm talking about, Damon and Mr. Raz.
Jack, take a hike. You aren't welcomed at Bob's Bar. Oh, crap. It's Knockout Neil, and he looks angry.
I will kick your ass.
DA, watch out. Oh, Nancy Mirage, please don't scream. I know Carlos with a K was salty. He couldn't get off from work to attend the show, but I wasn't expecting him to show up to Bob's Bar and pee on the dog's tombstones. Ugh, Foxy is here. Hey, everyone, get the earplugs in so we can tune out his average at best bagpipe session. What the heck is this? I don't have a license to park a Viking ship. Who the heck could this be? It's he who shall not be named. Who the heck invited this guy? Guys, I don't have much time left to talk. I'm clearly in over my head parking these cars, and it's exhausting and a big, big task. Oh, shucks. Now I sound like Pete the Body Bilotti making something seem like it's a bigger deal than it actually is. But anyway, I can't believe how many people showed up, so let's not waste any more time. Here are my Gelb's Gambles for the Big Bob's Bar Show. At plus 250, I'm taking Peter Schwartz and Shep to not get in a fight this year because Schwartz will be too busy trying to get Badlands Booker to autograph the Game Use kielbasa he slaps Mraz with as a gift for Bradley's next birthday. I'm also taking Pat Boyle to not spend any nookie time at Bob's Bar. We all know Marie in Denver isn't coming, but who really wants to spend any time oiling Boyle after his massive Canadian bacon blunder from last week? And finally, I'm taking the under of 10:45 a.m. Eastern as to how long DA will be sticking around after the show ends. By the way, DA, congratulations on becoming a father, but we all know, baby or not, a big star like you would be jetting out after the show ends either way. Oh, come on, Jack Stern. I already told you that you aren't welcomed here at Bob's Bar.
Caserta, I'm done parking cars for the day. You're up. I'm going to drink a beer with the Bayou Bear, and you'll deal with Big Baby Jack Stern.
I woke up 40 minutes ago. I slept for 2 hours. I don't want to deal with it.
Jeez, sorry I even asked. All right, that's all the time we have today from a busy Bob's Bar valet stand. Damon and Raz, back to you.
Well done. Really well done, Miguel. That was excellent. That's a lot of shrapnel. You took down a lot of people.
And for the first time in 2 years, Jack Stern with a good attitude about doing something.
I do feel a little bit bad that the joke is he's not invited. That's not fair. We should make sure that he knows he's invited if he wants to come.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we need a GoFundMe to get him there. Actually, maybe he, for that Brownster, should be GoFunding the guy in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. To get him
true. Mm-hmm. True. Dip into the family fortune.
The trust fund.
And get Avery from San Francisco out here.
And Cap is looking for anybody from Brooklyn to split the Uber ride with him. So.
So tomorrow is going to be pretty wild. And he mentioned Schwartz getting the kielbasa autographed for one of his kids' next birthdays. As silly as that is, that's not far off. You don't think that Schwartz might want to have Badlands autograph something, maybe the kielbasa? Feels like that's in play.
Yeah, 100%. Schwartz has probably spent the last year at flea markets looking for competitive eating trading cards to make sure Booker not only signs his own, but then hands Booker other ones to send to other people on the tour for him.
Pat Boyle, have you already picked out what you're going to wear tomorrow?
I have not, honestly, and wow. I'm a little torn here.
What are you torn between?
Oh, I don't know. I just haven't even thought of it. And I was thinking about it like in the 7 a.m. hour when you were talking about it. It's kind of giving me anxiety. I don't know what I want to wear.
Oh. Well, something easily removable because we need to take off your clothes to then oil you up. Now, we only said your pecs, but I guess should it be down to like bathing suit or Speedo?
His pelvis?
Or should he keep his pants on?
Are you getting the inner thighs?
I mean, look, if he wears a Speedo, then that's fine. I don't think you can ask him to go down to the whitey tighties.
I don't wear whitey tighties.
I bet you Boyle is a, they're not boxer briefs, but they're like what, compression underwear, like the athletic underwear that you would wear, right?
Yeah, I wear Jockey and Calvin Klein. Those are my two. Those are my top two guys.
There will be some tube sock stuffing going on tomorrow, I'm guessing, for Boyle.
I don't need it. unless it's a cold day. In that case.
Right now, Marie in Denver just passed out. She right now is fanning herself in her room right now. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I would guess since there is going to be a massive amount of baby oil applied to me, I probably wouldn't wear any clothes that I have to put back on afterwards that would, suffer because of that. So you might get, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
I bet you any money, the only person at this party that Nancy would let take a shower in the house is an oiled up Pat Boyle. Am I wrong on that?
I think that, there's a chance Nancy might help Boyle shower off. Yeah.
Nancy would not be upset if she sees a semi-naked Pat Boyle getting oiled up in the yard.
She might offer a loofah. You never know.
I would say she might give you the bath.
maybe we'll hose off Boyle and just fry some chicken cutlets in the baby pool in that oil after.
Adriana says, Booskies to Bob and Nancy for letting the entire country into their backyard for our entertainment. Not all heroes wear capes, DA. I predict next year's Bob's Bar will need to have a limit on listener attendance. Somebody bring that man some rum chata. Booskies to Bob and Nancy.
Booskies!
I want to make sure that they don't get too anxious here by saying we've invited the entire country.
We technically did. I mean, you just uttered the words, everybody's invited, literally.
Well, but
just because everybody's invited doesn't mean everybody's coming.
Right. Naturally, not everybody can attend.
Right. Everybody's invited to go to the Super Bowl. You still only get 80,000 there.
And this one's free. You don't even have to pay thousands
of
dollars.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, tomorrow's going to be something special. And Andrew Bogish is here for headlines. Bogues, what'd you think about the Gelb's gambles?
You know, Gelb on tape, sometimes it's not the best experience, but that was well put together, well delivered, and I'm glad he left my name out of it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it really alone. Was. Yeah, he did a great job. All right, what do we got in headlines?
Well, guys, this is the best thing that happened in baseball last night.
Now the next offering, swing and a drive, hit pretty deep right field. Sanchez going back at the wall. He leaped, he made the catch! He made the catch! He just robbed Suarez of a grand slam here in the bottom of the ninth inning. An unbelievable game-saving grab by Jesus Sanchez in right field.
Jesus Sanchez denying Eugenio Suarez of, again, the game-tying grand slam, bottom nine in Seattle. The call from Marlins Radio, just one run scored on the sac fly instead. Miami eventually won 4-1. Elsewhere, it was about offense.
Here's Seager, and he swings first pitch. That ball's blasted. Nothing Renfro can do. That ball's gone. Duo up the middle for the Rangers. Strikes here in the seventh.
That's Corey Seager hitting a solo shot. The pitch after a two-run homer from Marcus Semien. The Rangers won 6-3 over the Angels after losing the first two games of this four-game set. Shohei Ohtani had two more hits, including his AL-leading 21st homer to extend his hit streak to 11. The A's winning streak is over at 7, a 6-3 home loss to the Rays, hours after the full Nevada legislature approved $380 million of public funding for a Vegas stadium. All that's left now is the governor's signature. Tatis, Machado, and Soto hit solo homers in the Padres' 5-0 win over Cleveland. The White Sox rallied for an 8-4 win at Dodger Stadium, and the Mets outlasted the Yankees 4-3-10 to avoid a two-game sweep. Kirk Cousins will make $30 million for the coming season. Then he'll need a new contract. The Vikings table talks this offseason. Cousins was asked for an update yesterday.
I think we'll probably talk about the contract next March, and until then, just focus on this season and the job to do right now.
And as the goofy SOB that he is, Cousins also said he's holding out hope that Minnesota re-signs running back Dalvin Cook. The U.S. Open begins in a few minutes at L.A. Country Club. The morning tee times include Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas, and Bryson DeChambeau.
The scientist.
Dustin Johnson said yesterday that Saudi/Live officials have told him their tour will operate the same next year on the heels of the proposed merger with the PGA Tour. And a former Premier League star and coach, Patrick Vieira, reportedly interested in the U.S. men's soccer job, which has been open since the end of last year. Vieira has yet to officially interview for the position. And now, we're getting stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Not surprising, this was a popular submission this week. Went back to the timestamps, and I believe Erica Peterson was the first to send it my way. And we've had this kind of story before somehow. Last Friday in Ecuador, a 76-year-old woman was rushed to the hospital in distress when she didn't respond to treatments. Doctors declared her dead. Her son was given a death certificate, so he took his mom's body to a funeral home. And roughly 5 hours into the wake, those in attendance heard a knocking noise coming from the coffin.
Oh, my goodness.
Mom was alive, breathing heavily. There is video of all of this. It starts moments after the coffin is open. She is still in there, wrapped in blankets. Eventually, she's put on a stretcher and taken back to the same hospital that thought she was already dead. She was in serious condition as of earlier this week. There is an official investigation underway.
I don't know what to say about this. I really don't. There's video of this. They begin taking the video when they've already opened up the casket, and it gets pretty close to her. Like, who's ever filming this on their camera goes into a close-up, and you can see her heavily breathing. Now, her eyes are not quite open. She's not quite conscious, but clearly she's breathing, and then they lift her out of the coffin, put her on a stretcher, and one of the guys that actually takes her out is wearing a teal Michael Jordan jersey, which feels like a knockoff. I don't remember that. I mean,
not a North Carolina roadie.
I can't, it says Bulls.
Oh, it
I
does.
I can't believe this happens so often. Do you think that these are near-death experiences where their heart's giving out and then they kind of are legally dead and then suddenly their heart starts up a couple of hours later?
I'm worried that we've buried a lot of people that weren't dead until we buried them.
Right.
So this is where I get like medically here for a second.
Mm.
Can't you not, like, wouldn't embalming somebody further kill them if they were alive?
So this woman's not embalmed.
Yes.
Right.
This is what I can't figure out. There's no mention of the actual timeline, but it reads like they went from the hospital to the funeral home and then began sitting with her. This kind of all happened within the same day, so to speak.
It says 5 hours later. I wonder if that's 5 hours after she was declared dead.
Right. So I don't think they had done any of the normal funeral home stuff to her yet. But she was still in a box, closed, presumed dead.
Yeah. And if she wasn't strong enough to bang on the box,
right?
It's curtains.
Daddy,
she's buried alive. Then she's buried alive.
It's curtains. No, but at the same time,
I can't.
If she got buried, you would have never known that she was alive, and you would have never had second thoughts.
Well, that's my point. Like, are we burying people who are, especially
alive,
in like lesser countries where technology maybe is not great? Are we burying people who are just barely alive that we miss out on? And then they die because of that.
Well, how about that then? I flipped that on its head. What if those people that are then getting buried alive think that they're dead and think that it's maybe heaven or hell if they believe in that? And then it's like, this is my fate now. Darkness in a box.
Oh, man.
By the way, this is not just an Ecuadorian or international problem. There was an incident earlier this year out on Long Island, actually.
Yeah, we did it in Stunned.
We did
at a
we?
Funeral
we did.
Home.
Yep.
Yep. Port Jefferson Nursing Center in Port Jeff. And then also this happened in Iowa back in January when the 66-year-old woman, remember, was in a body bag and she started gasping for air in there and they had to unzip it. So this is not just, like, this is happening here in the States as well. This stunt I can't really do because I'm claustrophobic anyway. This bleep I can't even handle.
I don't know where you guys stand.
That's why I said I never wanted to be cremated.
That's what I was going to say.
Until these stories, and then I said, fine, do it. I got to do that.
No. I feel like this should make you not want to be cremated because once you get burned to ashes, that's it. You got no chance of revival on the breath. I'm definitely out of cremation on this.
That's fine. If I've already, my heart's given out for a couple of hours, you throw me in that instant incinerator, and I'm done, and I go into the afterlife.
No.
I don't need the fourth quarter comeback in the casket.
No,
I get that.
I'm rooting comeback the whole way.
No, I get that. If I'm bad enough that you think I'm dead, let's just confirm it.
It's done.
Let's lock it in.
That's
it. It's a horrible ending. You guys are burned to your death.
You don't know. It's done in seconds. For you, you want to be rattling the coffin?
Yeah. Let me out. Let me out. I want to be that guy.
I'll say this much. If I want to get cremated, so this is not even really applicable, but if I did want to get buried and I'm still alive, you better make sure I'm dead before you put me in a box, because if I come out of it, I'm going to jail because I'm going to kill you.
But again, how are you making sure? Am I shooting you in the head? Like, how am I making
sure that you're
dead?
Wait like a day or two.
Yeah. Or definitely embalm me. Make sure that I am absolutely toast.
Well, that's a bad pun because that's exactly what you want to be.
I'm telling you, don't screw around. Incinerate me, throw my ashes out at Bob's Bar, and I'm done with it. Can we just quickly go back to the alien story from yesterday? Because I played that improperly. I wanted more time for that, and I squeezed Bogues at the end. There was something that crashed in Las Vegas. And eyewitnesses say there were 8, 9, or 10 foot. They couldn't quite figure out how tall. But, I mean, obviously, if it's an alien and it's 8 foot, it might feel 10 feet or whatever. That were hiding around this crash site. But the people that tried to go close were frozen. Their muscles were frozen from going closer. That witnesses said that they heard a lot of different footprints. Or they heard a lot of different feet shuffling, what have you. But there is no sign of anything that crashed. But everybody saw something green in the sky come down to Earth and crash.
And there's video of that thing coming from the sky and, like, crashing.
Right, from a dashboard cam of a cop. I mean, that one, like you said yesterday, Mraz, that shouldn't be stunned to a news. That should lead the show.
Well, I'm not kidding when I say this. We've had so many of these alien documentaries on streaming services and all of that, that I think it's almost become like posh to be like believing in aliens, and you almost never believe any stuff. Sure, that I think that we've watered down these alien sightings so much that now one that probably should be taken seriously, we don't care enough to make it front page news.
Or that there's so much crap on social media and the internet that people just wash over everything.
Right, and you don't ever want to be the guy who gets butt-cracked sports, either. Like, you don't want to be the guy that's falling for something fake. Like, what is this person coming up with?
Right, Ian Rappaport with 10 P's.
Exactly, exactly.
But there's also, like, just enough room to not believe any of this. Like, there's a non-spaceship reason for something falling in the sky, like a shooting star. And then somebody tweeted us yesterday, I mean, in this day and age, almost everybody's got a front door camera. I've got a back door camera, too. That all of these things never end up accidentally on somebody's something. Does that mean anything? Does that mean that we can't see them? They know how to be invisible? Or does it mean that they were just never there in the first place?
Right. And also, it happens in, like, scarce Las Vegas, Area 51 out there. How come this is never happening? Like, how come an alien never crash lands in, you know, by the Bean in Chicago? It's never, like, with a mass of people around.
Well, I think that that's on purpose. I think aliens are trafficking in lesser populated places in case this type of stuff happens. If they have the technology to make you freeze in your tracks, unable to come forward and disappear, I think they know that they can't be caught over the Chicago skyline. They've got to be in less populated areas.
But if they're crashing, how much control of the ship do they have to stay away from populated areas?
I think maybe that's the safeguard.
And also, if they are crashing, why did they need the ship to get here to begin with if they could vanish and make themselves invisible and go back to where they came from?
Yeah, I think, look, there's something just statistically impossible about us being the only intelligent life.
When I agree.
Look up in the sky and every star is a potential sun of a different galaxy, or there was another picture that was just taken by some type of telescope or outer space device that showed all these thousands of potential galaxies.
Yeah.
Thousands of galaxies, not thousands of planets. It's statistically impossible we're the only advanced life form. So they're out there. It's just if we're making contact with them.
Right. Are they far enough that we never cross paths? No, I completely agree. There's no way. No way we're the only
one. But this one is, this one's intense. This one's, and now I got to see if they end up on like Rachel Ray or something. If these witnesses just want attention out of this, then Rachel I'm going to stop believing as much. But to this point, the authorities say the people that say they crash in the backyard don't want any attention for it. They have interviewed them multiple times. They're like, they're not into being a hoax. This is what they believe happened.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. You want to see Bob and Nancy's anxiety go through the roof, have an alien crash at 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Well, if Jack shows up, they'll think that.
Meet my Ark Manning.
It's Boob and Lancey.
Oh, boy.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Let's dial back to last summer and Bob's Bar 2. The most unexpected moment of last year's show, Shep V. Schwartz. Here it is. Shep is here, executive producer of the JR Sport Brief Show. Shep, so good to see you.
DA, great to be here. I just want to say, everybody here, thank you so much for coming out and supporting us. I know it is so early. You support DA Show, you support CBS Sports Radio. As a matter of fact, Mr. and Ms. Marash, thank you so much for having us. I know this took a lot of effort, a lot of thought, and a lot of will. And to you guys, really, truly, like, we don't do this in radio. Like, this is atypical of radio. Like, half of y'all know this, just being families of people in radio. This is so unique and just so bizarre in a good way. We're stuck at stations like 24/7, like commuting 2 hours just to get to a station. You see one person every single day. So thank you so much for what you guys are doing as a DA. So really, truly, it's awesome.
What is wrong with you? Are you like on another planet or something?
You know, Pete, I try to speak candidly and openly. Too, you know, we're giving the nicest person,
like
the
nice,
you know what? You booed louder than anybody here at the nicest person at CBS Sports Radio. This man's our future boss. You better be smart. Who do you think I'm looking at right now? Connor Green.
Are
you booing louder than anybody?
I booed you.
Okay. I didn't see you boo me. I saw you looking at him and booing him.
I did not boo
Connor. You booed Connor Green. Don't lie on the DA show.
Pete. Overnight's coming to the newsroom.
Yeah.
Who do you think
is the best host at this network.
Huh.
Wow, on the spot.
So.
So you say.
DA.
You still complaining about Pete?
So you see it, yeah. Go to Pharrell and say, Pete doesn't think you're the best host. But this is what he does. What do you think of our boss? You think they run this place well?
I never said that.
From day one, constantly, come to me and ask me these questions.
This is not
to get me in trouble.
Why don't you complain about another host or a blue check mark?
I have nothing to complain. I have nothing to complain about.
I have nothing but respect for you, but I think you're being a little unfair because I never said that. You're just putting words in my mouth. You're trying to make me look bad.
I'm not. That is you.
I've asked you one time. I've asked you one time who you think the best host is. I have a right to do that. I was a young up and coming guy. I'm trying to emulate and model myself after hosts like D.A. I can't ask that question.
Around and bringing that information to you.
Nowhere.
No.
Mark Chernoff wanted nothing to do with me.
All right. How's everybody enjoying Bob's Bar today?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh my God, that never gets old. Oh man. There was the thank you from the back of the crowd and a ooh from the crowd after the blue check mark.
I never noticed the ooh after ooh, the blue check mark
ooh, one. Ooh, that'll leave a mark. The poll question today, what are you most looking forward to tomorrow? 82% of you said Mraz getting slapped by a kielbasa. 18% said Pat Boyle getting oiled. Now, bodybuilders use oil as a resource to improve the shape of muscles to appear more cosmetically attractive. Kielbasa commonly seen on the dinner tables of noblemen and knights of higher stature. And Pat Boyle has been working a hectic schedule the last 3 weeks, so don't expect a chiseled rack of abs tomorrow. He's thick with two C's. Enjoy his mass more than his definition. Wow, so we got a thick boy coming tomorrow? Is that right, Pat?
Yeah, baby.
Thick boy summer.
Thick boy summer. And that's it. Tomorrow it happens. The Bob's Bar Show beginning at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 a.m. Pacific. Make sure you are watching on YouTube for the visuals. Make sure you are downloading the podcast once it's over. Make sure you listen to this week's PGP for behind the scenes. It's all happening. Thanks to executive producer Sean Moran. Andrew Bogish on headlines. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Pat Boyle on the Wheels of Steel. DA, we'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.